Welcome to my message today on Let the Church Move Forward. This is part of my series I'm doing called Get in the Game. And this series is about winning when it comes to serving. And I'm saying to every single one of us, get in the game. Get in the game. You see, the reality is when it comes to like sports, we're all gifted, or should I say also not gifted, in different ways. You know, I've told you that I was pretty good at football and actually ended up going to college on a full football scholarship, but I was not very good at lots of other sports. But the reality is that's true of sports, but here's the deal. When it comes to the church, I've got great news for you. Every one of us are gifted. Every single one of us are gifted. 1 Peter 4, 10, the theme verse for our series says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have at least one spiritual gift. We're to minister with it as a good steward, a good manager of what God has blessed us with and what God has given to us. So what we're doing as we look at this, we're looking at four different moves that we have to make if we're going to win at serving. And the first move is let God's Spirit move in. I mean, after all, it is spiritual gifts, right? Get it? Spiritual gifts. So the first thing we got to do is we got to let God's Spirit move in. The second move we got to make is let the pastors move over. You see, the Bible teaches that every Christian is a minister. We believe in what's called the priesthood of the believer, that every believer is a priest and every believer is a minister. And the pastors can't be the ministers. They can be part of the team of ministers, but they're not the only ministers. The pastors have to move over and say, come, join me in ministry. And then the third move is let the people move up. When the pastors move over, the people have to move up and start ministering and serving the Lord. Well, those are three awesome moves, and I hope you're making every move, all right? Today is the fourth move and the final move, and that is let the church move forward. You see, when the Spirit moves in, the pastors move over, and the people move up, guess what happens? The church moves forward. And today we're going to be looking here in Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to see a church on the move, the church at Colossae, all right? And this was indeed a church on the move. In fact, not only was the church at Colossae on the move, there were other churches that Paul served with that were on the move. And listen, when we make these other moves, the church is indeed going to move forward. Well, we're going to look today at Colossians chapter 4, 7 through 18. Colossians 4, 7 through 18. We're going to look at all those verses today. But I want to begin by reading what I call the key verse for today, and that's Colossians 4, 17. And I love this verse. Here it says, and I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So in this passage we're going to see today, Paul mentions 10 people by name. And one of those people is a guy named Archippus. And I love this challenge that Paul gives concerning Archippus. Take heed to the ministry. All right, he's got a ministry, every member a minister. And listen, how did he get it? From the Lord. He received it from the Lord. God gives us our ministries. And then listen, fulfill it. In other words, do it. Minister, be faithful with what God has given to you. And so I'm excited about sharing this message with you. Now, as we begin, I want to share with you a famous quote from history. And one of the greatest leaders of all time was a guy named Winston Churchill, and I'm pretty sure you probably heard of Winston Churchill. And he had a number of different famous statements, but one of those statements, and you can look it up and you can actually hear it, There's videos out there with him saying it, where he says, let us go forward together. He was known for saying that statement many times, in fact, critical times. He said it at the end of World War I, when the rebuilding needed to begin. He said it between the two world wars. And then right after Pearl Harbor, he once again said, let us move forward together. And listen, I'm with Winston Churchill. I say, listen, let's move forward together. Hey, Capitol, let's move forward here. Let's move our church forward together. Now, to do that, let's talk about how to do that, how to let the church move forward. So today I've got something unusual. I got an 8-point sermon, all right? So that's kind of unusual for me, all right? Usually it's 4 or 5, sometimes 6, but it's really unusual for me to have 8 points. But what I want to do today is I want to go over these 8 points, all right, because actually Paul talks about 10 people here, and I want to make sure we covered all of them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a lot of points, which means I'm not going to go real deep on any individual point. But I think I'm going to encourage you today because, listen, I'm encouraged. When I look at what this church did and these churches did to move forward, I am truly encouraged. So I want to say to us, let us move forward together. Let us move forward together. One more time. Let us move forward together. So to do that, number one, let us move forward in teamwork. If we're going to move forward together, we got to move forward in teamwork. We have to be a team. And team in our series is together experiencing a ministry. We have to together experience a ministry. And we see this happening here, all right? And so here is the facts. The Apostle Paul mentions over 100 people by name in his New Testament writings. So in all the books that Paul wrote, okay, if you added up all the different names he mentions, it's over 100 people. Now what's interesting, in this passage alone, what we're going to look at today, he mentions 10 individuals. And so what this tells us is this: Paul was a friend maker and a team player. He was a friend maker and a team player. If we're going to move forward, we got to be a team, right? We got to be a team. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24a, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. You see, you've heard the statement, what goes around comes around. You've heard that? What goes around comes around. Well, that's a biblical fact. Whatever you sow, you reap, right? And here the Bible says, if you want to have friends, you must yourself be friendly. In other words, a lot of people say, you know, I want to have friends. And who doesn't? We all want to have friends. But God's word says you want to have friends, be a friend. First, be a friend. And Paul was a friend. And listen, he brought together a team of people. And what we need to do is we got to come together and we got to be friends to one another. We have to care about each other. We have to support one another. And we have to do it together. Let's move forward in teamwork. Number two, let us move forward in family. Let us move forward in family. Paul goes on to say in verses 7 and 9, he mentions two people, Tychicus and Onesimus. And he says, Tychicus, notice this, a beloved brother, faithful minister. And then secondly, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now, I'm going to highlight these two gentlemen in 2 points. And right now, I want to highlight the fact that Paul calls them beloved brothers, beloved brothers. You see, listen, when it comes to moving forward together, we've got to realize that we are a spiritual family. We are a spiritual family. In fact, the Bible describes in Ephesians 2:19 the church this way. It says, now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, notice this, and members of the household of God. we're members of the household of God. What is he saying there? He's saying we are a spiritual family. The church, listen, the church is a spiritual family. And we got to understand that. We got to realize that. And we got to understand a biblical church is inter and multi-generational. A biblical church, all right? A church that is constructed according to the Bible is a family, okay? And what that simply means is the generations, number one, the generations are represented. Okay, let's start right there, all right? In other words, there's a variety of generations. And it's multiple generations. But not just that, there's intergenerational. In other words, the generations have to come together in serving the Lord. In fact, the Bible describes our relationships in church as a family. 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity." Look at that. The Bible describes our relationships in terms of a family. We're to relate to one another. The older are to be related to as a father. The younger are to be related to as brothers, the younger men. The older women, treat them as mothers. The younger women, treat them as sisters. This is talking about life at church and how the church needs to be a family. And honestly, one of the things I think that breaks the heart of God so much is that pretty much, you know, the majority of churches, all right, and I would go as far as to say the overwhelming majority of churches are a lot of times made up of like one generation or two generations. Listen, that's not biblical, okay? That is not biblical. And at Capital Baptist Church, we're serious about being a biblical church, and part of that is being multi and intergenerational, all right? Number three, let us move forward in faithfulness. So not only were these guys beloved brothers, they were faithful. And I'm going to mention them again. Again, Tychicus and Onesimus. It says Tychicus, a beloved brother, and then again, faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Then he says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Twice he says here concerning them, these two people, he says they're faithful. They're faithful. They can be depended upon. He says, I'm sending them to you. I'm giving them a responsibility, okay? They're servants. And they're going to serve as communicating. They're going to communicate what's going on with me. And what he's saying about them is, you can count on them. They are dependable. I mean, it's such a blessing, all right, in church life for me as the lead pastor, listen, to have dependable people. There are so many people in this church, okay? I don't even give it a second thought, all right? It's not even on my mind. I know they're going to do it, okay? I know they're going to do it because, listen, they're faithful. And that's what Paul's saying about them. I am depending on them. I know they're going to do a great job in communicating to you about my situation here. Proverbs 26 says, most men will proclaim each one his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Oh, we all, okay, you know, can proclaim our own goodness. But the reality is, who can find a faithful man? And that's a great question. Who can find people that are faithful? They're hard to find. They really are. And I would ask you the question, what's the answer concerning you? Are you faithful? Are you a Tychicus? Are you an Onesimus? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I mean, it's such a good thing to have faithful people. They're friends. They love you at all times. They stick you with you through thick and thin. They're born for adversity. I mean, I like to say a true friend, when everybody walks out, a true friend walks in. That's a faithful person. Number four, let us move forward in forgiveness. Let us move forward in forgiveness. You know, I often say that relationships are messy. They are. They're messy, okay? And I could talk about that for an hour or so probably. But the core of what that means is we're all depraved, right? We're all sinners. And so here I am, Steve Reynolds, a depraved person, a sinner, okay? And I'm trying to be the best I can be for you, but I do it in the context of who I am. And then I'm dealing with you, and you're the same way as me, okay? And yes, we want to live for God and we want to follow the Bible, but honestly, there are times that we mess up, okay? We mess up relationships. And this is what happens here, okay? Concerning a guy named John Mark. And it says here, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark. All right, listen to this. Who is Mark? We call him John Mark. He had both names. He was a cousin of Barnabas. So Barnabas was that great encourager in the Bible. About whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, listen to this now, welcome him. Welcome him. Now it's easy just to look over those two words, welcome him. But you got to understand there's a depth to what he's saying here. Welcome him. Because here's what happened. There's some history, you know. You always going to say there's history in our relationship, and that's true of all of us, right? And in Acts 13, it talks about the first missionary journey. And John Mark was on Paul's team. And here's what it says. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So it's mentioning John, and he was their assistant. He was their helper. Praise God for help, for assistance and helpers. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and look what happened. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. I mean, what did John Mark do? Right in the thick of the battle, so to speak, right in the heart of this first missionary journey, John Mark, the assistant. I mean, any leader knows how they depend on their assistants, all right? And I thank God I got lots of awesome assistants that helped me, and I praise God for every single one. Praise the Lord, okay? And here's somebody that they were depending upon, John Mark. And you know what he does? He ups and leaves. He walks away. What happens? Well, praise God, okay? And honestly, there's some stuff between the lines here that we don't know, all right? We don't know, but something good happened here because 2 Timothy 4:11b says, and here's Paul writing, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. So I didn't include the passage here, but what happens is when they came to the next missionary journey, there's three what we call missionary journeys. So the first one, Paul and Barnabas went out. John Mark was there. He quit. They were about to embark on the second one, and Barnabas said, I want to bring John Mark with us. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, no way, Jose. In fact, the Bible says they went different ways, okay? They went different ways. But something awesome happened here. And I believe it was multidimensional. I think something went on with Barnabas. Things happened with John Mark, Paul. But listen, what happened ultimately was they forgave. All right? There was a sense of forgiveness here to the point that now Paul is saying of John Mark, he is useful to me for the ministry. I mean, this man who had quit, this man, Paul, at one point said, I want nothing to do with him. All right? He quit, so I'm done with him. But praise God, he wasn't done. And Paul forgave him. Paul gave him a second chance, if you will. And now he's saying, you know what? He's useful to me. I mean, John Mark stepped up and grew from his experience and became better for it, you know? And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32 that we're to forgive one another. And then Galatians 6:1 says, We're to restore people, people that have trespassed, the people that have messed up. Listen, let's move forward in forgiveness. Listen, we all got some history, okay? And I guarantee you somewhere along the line, if we've known each other a while, I've disappointed you. And the truth is, you know, maybe you've disappointed me. But we can't live on that stuff, okay? We have to forgive each other and help each other and move forward together. Church, let's move forward together. And then number five, let us move forward in diversity. A church is not only going to be multi-generational, but it's also multi-ethnic. He says in Colossians 4:11, and Jesus, who is called Justice, all right, here's another Bible character, Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. And Paul puts in there, these are people of the circumcision, all right? That's talking about, what he's saying is, on his team in the church, there were Jews, all right, the people of the circumcision, and there were non-Jews, Gentiles or Greeks, the Bible calls them. In other words, this church was a diverse church. It was made up of people from different backgrounds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, for as the body is one and has many members. All right, so it's going to use the illustration of the body. All right, so my body is one, but my body has many members. That means different parts, my eyes, my ears, my arms, my legs, my head, you know, my feet, etc. Okay, but it says all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And listen to this, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Listen to me. Listen, God's Spirit. Let the Spirit move in. When the Spirit moves in, listen, we're baptized into the one body. And it's a diverse body. In fact, Paul summarizes by saying, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. Folks, we need to move forward with diversity. And praise God for the diversity of our church. May it continue, all right? Not only continue, may we get closer and closer together as we serve the Lord together. And then listen, number six, let the church move forward in maturity. We got to grow up, folks. As we move forward, we got to grow up. It says of Epaphroditus, here's another person. Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Listen to what it says here. Epaphroditus, he was a man of prayer. He labored in prayer. But listen, prayer is important, but notice the end of prayer should be maturity. He says he prayed for them that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see, we need to realize our church exists. Listen, why? Why do we exist? To lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. And as we move forward together, let us move forward in maturity. Let us keep growing and developing in the Lord. And the definition of maturity, Ephesians 4:13, is this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A perfect man means mature, complete. And how's that defined? Listen, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, you don't determine your spiritual maturity compared to your friend or your family member or anyone else. There's only one standard for all of us, and that is how much are we like Jesus? And what we need to do is all grow to be as much like Jesus as possible. Number seven, let us move forward in hospitality. Hospitality. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. All right? There's two more, okay? Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, okay? Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Memphis and the church that is in his house. Hey, I love this idea of greet each other. Let's greet each other. Let's be kind to each other. Let's encourage each other, all right? Let's be hospitable. After all, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 9, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hey, listen, let's be hospitable to each other. Let's be kind to each other. Let's greet each other. Let's welcome each other. Amen. I love that. And then lastly, let us move forward in ministry. Let us move forward in ministry. Ultimately, we're talking about serving, right? And as Paul comes to the end of this section, he says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And listen, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And I just want to highlight those three sections there. Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you received of the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Number one, take heed to the ministry. Hey, listen, every member of ministry, take heed to the ministry, all right? Because listen, number two, which you have received in the Lord. It's God that gave you the ministry, all right? He's the one that gave you the spiritual gifts, all right? Everything comes from Him. We're depending on Him. My very next breath is totally from God. Everything I have comes from God. He's given me this ministry. I need to fulfill it. That's the third part. Fulfill it. Do it, okay? Do what God has given for you to do. Amen. Amen. After all, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Don't miss this part. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God knew long ago that He would give me spiritual gifts of exhortation, administration, pastor, shepherding. Those are my three primary gifts. He knew long ago He would want me to be pastor of this church, okay? And all I'm doing, I'm fulfilling the work God has done in me, all right? Isn't that awesome to think about? That's so incredible. Hey, listen, the fourth move is let the church move forward. Let the Spirit move in. Let the pastors move over. Let the people move up. And listen, let the church move forward.